Again this week, we have two different stories in one story. Maybe not different stories, but what seem to be two different ideas that Mark is talking about. The first one is Jesus going home. He goes where we would expect him to go, the synagogue, to teach. Well, people see him and hear him. And this is the boy that has grown up in their town, the son of the carpenter. They thought they knew him, but do they really? I love watching our kids here at Highland Park come back after they've been away at school or at jobs. It really doesn't matter what they're up to. People greet them with such love and care and acceptance. But it's not always that way, is it? I can go back to my hometown, and it's okay around my friends. They all act okay towards me, as long as I don't tell them what I do. Or heaven forbid, actually call myself a preacher. When I spoke at my father's funeral, they refused to put Reverend before my name in the program. Jesus isn't welcomed like we would welcome one of our own coming home. And that had to hurt. To not be really heard by people who claim to know you, who probably had a hand in raising you. But the phrase in this first passage that jumps out to me is so interesting, and it's the fifth verse. And he could do no deed of power there. He could do no deed of power there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and cured them. Then the passage switches to Jesus spreading out the 12, sending them in twos to spread the good news and to be his hands of healing in the world. I don't know, to tell you the truth, why Mark switches so quickly from one story to the next. But I do think there are some things that both passages speak about. These two stories speak to me of missions and of evangelism. I think we try really hard to make those two very different things. Guess what? I think they're two sides of the same coin. We can't do missions without taking God with us and sharing God, and we can't evangelize without meeting people's needs. We can't try and just help. We can try and just help people, but if we truly have a meaningful relationship with our Creator, it can't help but show through. And we need to be willing to share it, because people want to know, why are you doing this? And it's not possible to share God with people until they're in a place to hear it. And someone who is hungry or living in fear or without shelter or in need in any way can't feel the love of God. You have to show it to them through meeting them where they are. I think sometimes we as Christians try and make missions the answer. And don't misunderstand me, this is not a sermon against missions, because I think missions are very important. But I think we've become so afraid of evangelism that we think we can just do missions instead. It's the easiest. We can feed the hungry and we can help someone with clothes or money and we're good. Why is it that we're so afraid of evangelism? Because we're afraid of sharing our faith? Sometimes. Because we don't know how to share our faith? Okay, sometimes. Because we're afraid of being rejected? I think that's the main issue. I think that's why Mark tells us first about Jesus being rejected in his own hometown. What could hurt worse than that? But Jesus didn't stop there. Here he is in his own hometown. People have rejected him. He can do no deed of power there, and yet he finds a few sick who believe in his touch, and he continues on about his work. I love that part of the story, the part that is so seldom touched upon. Jesus went on. And then when he explains to his disciples that they're going to have times when people are going to not want to hear you, what does he tell them to do? Shake it off. Shake it off and keep going. I think it had to be just a little bit easier for the disciples because they had seen Jesus. They saw that Jesus didn't reach everyone he tried to touch. And knowing that Jesus didn't bat a thousand meant they didn't have to. You see, people have to be ready to hear. It wasn't those at the synagogue who were ready to hear. It was the few who were sick who were ready for Jesus. There has to be a fine balance between missions and evangelism. I can't help but think about those nine in Charleston, gathering to study and pray together. But one of the most meaningful things that came out of that whole event to me was the response of the families. The families who were so loving and forgiving and accepting. There were no bitter, angry words. Yes, there was loss and sadness, but they spoke of love, and they spoke with love. Wow. What grace. What grace. That's not just talking the talk. That's walking the walk. That's what Jesus sends us to do. To share the love of God in word and in deed. I have a short video that I want to show you this morning that's a perfect example of walking the walk. Now, it's not in English, so you're going to have to read the subtitles. But it's a beautiful example of how a person in their everyday life walked the walk. Some watched and didn't understand and didn't believe, but those who received, their lives were changed. Franklin D. Duncan, who is a PhD, is a pastoral counselor and clinical pastoral education supervisor who lives and works in Atlanta, Georgia. And after practicing in the field of chaplaincy and counseling and supervision for more than 30 years, he agreed to teach the introductory class to pastoral care at the local divinity school. He decided to try and distill his 30 years of experience down to 4 rules. They are: 1, show up; 2, listen; 3, speak the truth; and 4, don't take responsibility for the outcome. We're called to get out and go to people, not for people to come to us, but for us to find them and to listen. Jesus clearly told the disciples, don't take a bunch of stuff with you. Travel light. Don't get bogged down by worrying about what you have or what you need. Man, is it even possible for us to go out and talk to anyone anymore without an electronic device in our hand? Much less without taking an extra tunic. I can't even imagine what advice Jesus would give us about spending time with people. I imagine it's going to be, forget the iPhone, forget the iPad, don't take your laptop. You don't need stuff. Just go talk to people. That may be the hardest part of getting out there, is really letting ourselves listen to what people need. Then speak the truth. Speak what you know, not what you repeat out of a book, but what you know through your relationship with God. I read about a woman who worked in a bookstore, and one morning when she arrived at the store, there was a man who was dressed as a Hasidic Jew. And he said to her, I want to know about Jesus. So she took him to the part of the store where the books about Jesus were, and he said, no, don't give me another book to read. Tell me what you know about Jesus. She said she kind of froze and shook for a minute and thought, I don't know what to do. And then she just began to tell him what she knew about Jesus. We have to be willing to speak our truth. Not something written down in a pamphlet, but our truth that is down deep inside of us. And then don't take responsibility for the outcome. It is about letting God use us. It is not about us. I pray that about every Sunday morning. Or any time that I speak, God, don't let this be about my words. Let it be about you using me. We come together every Sunday to help us grow in what we know, so that when we walk out these doors, we can speak the truth. We can show up. We can listen. We can speak the truth. And know that we have done all we can do. The rest is up to God.